Welcoming back to the show, Mike Giardi of Comcast Sportsnet New England. Mike, good afternoon.
Rich, good to talk to you again.
Always a treat for us here. Yes, indeed. Patriots preseason rolling along, and today was the day that Tom Brady chose to tell people concussions were nobody else's business but his.
Yeah, I don't know that his wife necessarily agrees with that, and I'm suspecting that that's a little a little bit of friction between them. I don't know if one of them had to sleep on the couch after she revealed that on the Charlie Rose show, but yeah, I mean, look, he was pretty steadfast. I'm not giving up that information. But, you know, it's one of those situations where, you know, during the course of the year, if you have a concussion and you report it, you obviously show up on the injury report. If you suffer one in the Super Bowl, which a lot of people believe that he might have when he took Nate Solder's knee to the back of his head in the fourth quarter, if the spotter doesn't see anything, you don't have to report anything after the fact because obviously there are no injury reports. So maybe you get by on a technicality on that one.
Now, look, he's 40 years old, celebrated the birthday yesterday. There doesn't seem to be much in the way of a diminishment of skills at this point. But the reality is the list of NFL quarterbacks who've had great success after 40 is a pretty short one. How much longer do you think he has?
Well, I mean, it's crazy to think, you know, it wasn't too long ago, 3-4 years ago, where, you know, there was a decline there. And we're not talking a precipitous decline, but we are talking, there are little things that showed up. I think that's why Jimmy Garoppolo got drafted. And Bill Belichick made the comments after they drafted Garoppolo about his, you know, Brady's age and his contract situation. But whether, you know, look, he's always had a chip on his shoulder, but maybe that created another one for him. And it's worked out very well for both sides. He trains like a maniac. You know, today at the practice session, he was, you know, they did a scrimmage, and he participated in the first couple drives of the scrimmage and then sat out the rest of the scrimmage. And while most of his teammates are, you know, onlooking, and some of the guys that also had brief stays like Edelman and Hogan, they went down to the lower field. He sat up on that field. He had his resistance bands around his legs, and he was working on his drops and his footwork over and over again during the course of that scrimmage. And it's like, you could probably just take it easy, but that's not his nature. He's always trying to find a way to get better. And to this point, that has benefited both him and the Patriots.
Speaking of Jimmy Garoppolo, you wrote about this. He hasn't had the greatest of camps so far. Is there any real cause for concern?
I think, look, you know, this is three straight camps with he doesn't necessarily look all that great. And he admitted today, for whatever reason, and I guess it's a good thing, that when it comes to game times, when the light goes on, I tend to be better. But in year four, especially when you consider the off season that was, and the reported rumblings of, you know, trades with the Browns, and I'm offering, you know, multiple first round picks, and Belichick, you know, basically getting word out to Adam Schefter that not one, not two, not three, not four first round picks would get it done in a trade for him. He's not going anywhere. You'd like to see him sort of back that up from the coach and say, look, I don't know when the guy in front of me is going to stop playing, but if he stops playing, your next guy is right here, and I'm going to be damn good for you. And I still believe heavily in his talent and his ability, but I think, you know, look, at some point you got to be a better practice player, and I think we're kind of at that point where, you know, time to be better, time to make people stop worrying about what you are at this very moment and wondering if you're frustrated with your situation and frustrated with the fact that there is no real opening for you right now.
Mike Giardi with us here on Downtown. This running back core, they may not have a superstar back there, but a fair amount of depth at that position. And you wrote about one of the interesting new acquisitions. Rex Burkhead looks to be a guy that might be a surprising addition to this team and might be able to do more than folks were thinking.
Yeah, I mean, he came on last year near the end of the year, but that's 4 years in the league, and you're kind of wondering, you know, is he just sort of a guy that you can plug in every once in a while as a running back, and then he's going to be a core special teams guy for you? But Bill basically personally recruited this guy. This is Bill's signing. And, you know, I like the idea that Burke had bet on himself, too, in this. You know, he got a decent chunk of change, $3 million for one season, but I think there's probably more out there for him, and I think Burke had wanted to prove to the Patriots, to the rest of the league, that there's more there, that I deserve a longer commitment, and that I'm a better player than people think I am. And thus far in camp, he shows up every day. Today was the first time he retreated to the lower field. Maybe he's dealing with a little something, a little soreness or whatever. He joined Mike Gillisley down there and a bunch of other guys. But prior to that in camp, I mean, one, two, three plays a day where you go, wow, he's got quicks, and wow, he made that guy look ridiculous. And that's whether it's running the football or catching out of the backfield, he's got a lot of versatility, and he's surprisingly solid for someone. Like, I think we kind of look at him as maybe sort of a shifty third down type back, but I don't think he really necessarily fits that mold. He's about 210 pounds, and he runs really hard. He gets low. He has the potential to get more carries than I think anybody thought coming into the year.
This team had such a solid offseason. Who do you think will be the most impactful of the new acquisitions?
I think Stephon Gilmore, to me. I mean, I just look at, you know, Cooks is obviously going to bring a lot of stretch to the offense and that home run ability that they sort of lacked for a bunch of years now in the chunk play. But I think the addition of Gilmore and the fact that you were able to keep Malcolm Butler gives you one of, if not the best, cornerback combination in the league, and we're talking about a league where everybody throws the ball 40 times, to have two players that are Pro Bowl talents in your secondary in the prime of their careers, both motivated for different reasons. Butler because he wants to get paid what Gilmore's getting paid, and Gilmore because now it's, you know, I'm on a real team, an opportunity here for me to play in the playoffs, something I haven't done, and sort of back up the notion that I'm one of the better cornerbacks in the league like they're paying me to be. So I've been impressed with both of those guys. I think he's been probably their, maybe two of their three or four best players in camp thus far. They played, both of them have been excellent.
Yeah, an interesting discussion with a number of folks about who other than Tom Brady is the guy the Patriots can least afford to lose.
Yeah, you know, it's something I kind of kicked up on my vacation. And I, you know, I've been around the league for 20 years, meet a lot of different people from a lot of different places and with a lot of different organizations. And, you know, they granted, I granted them anonymity, and they just let me talk football with them, and it was really fascinating, I think, on a bunch of different fronts. I think we have 10 of them, 10 stories planned. We've run three. We ran Garoppolo, the view of Garoppolo. We ran the view of Brady at this point. And, yeah, as you were mentioning, you know, who can you least afford to lose? Rob Gronkowski came up twice in that list, and I, one, because he's just a freak to cover, even coming off the injuries, but also, you know, last year they had Martellus Bennett, and while he got hurt, he still was a pretty reasonable facsimile of Gronk. This year, Dwayne Allen, who they acquired in trade, talented player, but different kind of player than Bennett was, different kind of player than Gronk is, much more of a blocker. Not sure how impactful he'll be in the passing game. So I think they kind of look at that too and say, well, if something happens to Gronkowski, they don't have that necessarily that next big target to step in. And certainly from a comfort standpoint, we know Brady loves Edelman, but he loves himself Gronk too. And push comes to shove, Gronk's not really covered even when he is, and that's a place you can always go.
Mike, you're hearing anything about our former Black Bear, Trevor Bates, who was on the practice squad last year? I know they were impressed with his work there, but it's going to be tough for him to crack that final roster, I would think.
Yeah, it definitely is, but I'll give him credit because, especially, I think I want to say, he's kind of made a little bit of a push over these last few days in pads where, you know, I've noticed him more than I did early on. I've noticed him make a couple plays, shot the gap in a team drill, and we got to the quarterback, and obviously they're not allowed to take the quarterback down. They get in trouble for that, but he was right there and would have made a play. So, look, they you know, they went out and they addressed the linebacker position by re-signing Hightower, and then they brought in David Harris. So it's a pretty crowded place, but I think that's one of those positions where the more you can do, the versatility, the ability to play special teams is going to help a guy like Bates. It's still long odds, but like I said, at least over the last few days, he's certainly shown up a lot more, and that's a good sign for him.
How many roster spots do you think are actually open here over the course of the next few weeks?
You know, I figure somewhere between 43 or 44 spots are just stone-cold locks. That leaves, you know, your 9-10 spots there at the back end of the roster. And you were kind of talking about some of the same names over and over again. And then I think really comes down to, in a lot of those cases, well, first of all, injuries. Is there anything going on before you start the season that you need to protect yourself and make sure, you know, if player X can't go in week one or week two, that you have someone who's been in the system the entire time and can step in and play on that opening day? I think the special teams aspect of it is so important. I think you look at, you know, we're looking at tight end, and Matt Langel ended up being on the roster last year late and caught a touchdown pass in one of those games late in the year. And it was a nice story, part of the Northeastern football program before it went under. Bounced around after that. He's in a competition with, you know, a couple guys. They traded for O'Shaughnessy from Kansas City, a fifth-round pick a few years ago. And you look at it and say, well, Langle was here. He knows the system. And all of a sudden you see O'Shaughnessy playing on some special teams, and Langle's not playing on all the special teams. And you say, well, maybe O'Shaughnessy has the edge. And I think that's really what it comes down to. They're probably equal talents, but who can do more? And in that case, maybe, you know, for someone like Bates, the more you can do, the more you can open eyes and say, well, we got a flexibility with this guy. We can move him here, there, everywhere, and get something out of him.
Mike Girardi, Comcast SportsNet New England. Mike, as always, great talk with you. Thanks for being with us this afternoon.
Rich, thank you very much. Always a pleasure.